bless you, Lord. You are so great and worthy of our praise, O God. You are so worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord. You're bigger than every problem and every situation and every circumstance. You're greater than our sicknesses and our injuries and our diseases, O Lord. You're the God of signs and wonders and miracles, the God of hope and glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But today I'm going to be talking about wandering in the wilderness. And it's a place many of us, sadly, are still walking in because we have not experienced the fullness of the blessings of God. Not because God has not poured them out upon us and offered them to us freely, but we're just wandering around in circles as if we have no direction, even though we have God's direction. Maybe like a chicken with their head chopped off. But God has good plans for us. The parashah for today, or the Torah portion that's read today, and it's on your bulletin, it's actually a double portion. So you actually have a double blessing today. Yes, isn't that nice, a double blessing? There's two portions. The first one is matot, which means tribes. And the second one is masei, which means journeys. And it actually goes all the way from Numbers 30, verse 2, through 36, verse 13. And this portion, or these two portions, actually concludes the book of Numbers today. So we're finishing it, which means next week we're actually entering into the last book of the Torah, which is Devarim, which means word. Now, Bamidbar, or Numbers, gives a descriptive account of 38 years of Israel's wandering in the wilderness of Sinai. 38 years of wandering. But you know, there's many parallels here to be drawn between Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, wandering in the wilderness, and our own walk with God. And Israel's deliverance, or their freedom from Egypt, is similar as well to our initial salvation experience in the Messiah. And whereas Israel was delivered from that great Pharaoh of Egypt, we also were delivered from the prince of this world, known as Satan. And as Israel became a people and a nation of God, when they received his word, the Torah, upon Mount Sinai, we also became a part of the body of the Messiah and a kingdom of priests upon receiving the written word, the Torah, upon our individual hearts. Furthermore, as a result of Israel's murmuring and their rebellion and their disobedience and their lack of faith and trust in God, they forfeited entry into the promised land. Our own sin causes us to forfeit our freedom and our victories and the blessings that could be ours in the Messiah, Yeshua. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, it says in verse 20 of Numbers 14, Adonai, or the Lord, answered, I have forgiven as you have asked, but as sure as I live and that the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the people who saw my glory and the signs I did in Egypt and in the desert yet tested me these 10 times and did not listen to my voice will see the land I swore to their ancestors. None of those who treated me with contempt will see it. Now here he mentions that the people tested him 10 times. How many times do you think we've tested the Lord? Boy, I tell you what, we don't have enough fingers and toes, do we? Boy, we'd have to start borrowing someone else's fingers and toes to count all the times. As a result, the Lord had Israel wander in the wilderness, according to Numbers chapter 14, verse 34 and 35, that says, It will be a year for every day you spend exploring the land, that you will bear consequences for your offenses. 40 days, 40 years. Then you will know what it means to oppose me. Wow. I don't want to be in a place where I'm opposing God. Does anybody hear? It's not a good place to be, exactly. And it says here, I, Adonai, I the Lord have spoken. I will certainly do this to the whole evil community who have assembled together against me. They will be destroyed in the desert and they will die there. But you know, our own sin, our same sin, causes us to wander in a spiritual wilderness. We become shipwrecked and we become stranded in our faith. We get choked by all the cares of this world and we wander around in circles year after year after year, never entering into the fullness of the promises of God. And we rob ourselves of the total blessing, the totality of the blessing that is ours in the Messiah Yeshua. Yet God had a purpose for Israel's wandering in the wilderness, and it was to bring cleansing to them and a purging to prepare them for their entry into the promised land. But the Lord also desires you and I to enter into the promised land. But we have to stop our wandering and our running around in circles and desire to be purged and cleansed of the sin areas in our life. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, exhorts us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And we talk about this during Passover a lot. Get rid of the old yeast or the old leaven that you may become a new batch without yeast as you really are. And we know that yeast or leaven in Scripture represents sin and it represents pride and haughtiness and self-exaltation and a puffed up attitude. And the Lord desires us to be renewed in our walk with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And we really need to live like that. That when we come to the Lord, we're not the same anymore. Now, I remember how I was before I came to the Lord. I mean, I was nasty and ugly and all those terrible things. Now, I'm not saying I still don't have little remnants of that, right? I still have some areas in my life that I still struggle with. I still need to be totally purged and cleansed. But when we came to Him, it was a should have been a new experience. And it was with me. It was a night and day experience, a light and darkness experience. I was changed forever. You're a new creation in the Messiah. The old things have gone. New things have come. But the problem is many of us never get rid of the old things, and we continue to keep them. And not only keep them, we nurture them, and we feed them. Maybe because we enjoy that. We enjoy these things. We don't want to get rid of them. We like the things. We like the sin areas. Again, we're exalted by Yaakov or James in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word or that seed which is planted in you which can save you. You know, entrance into the promised land results from our submission to the will of the Lord God of heaven and earth. And there's no flowery language or good deeds you can do that's going to give you an automatic entry pass into heaven. You know, Messiah Yeshua reminds us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's how you get into the promised land, that you do the will of the Father. Now, Bamidbar Numbers ends with Bnei Yisrael, with the children of Israel. They're encamped on the plains of Moab by the Jordan River across from Jericho. They've experienced the cleansing and all the purging. They're now ready to march as an army into the land of Canaan and conquer it. They're now both physically and spiritually prepared to take hold of the promises of God. And the Lord reminds them in the book of Numbers, chapter 33 and 53. 33 verse 53, take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given it to you for your possession. And in our walk, you and I, in our walk in the Messiah, we also need to reach that point of cleansing and purging, and both spiritually and physically, the point at which we are at the entry to the fullness of all his promises, ready to march into Canaan and possess the land that God has promised us. And God has given us so many marvelous promises in his word and the world, in the word, but it's ours to take, to receive, and to get. But we have to be physically and spiritually prepared, cleansed, and purged for these promises to be released in our life. And as Moses, who was the mediator of Israel, replied in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 through 11, so our Messiah, our mediator, tells us, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. And he goes on to say, when you have eaten and you're satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given us, given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees. And let me tell you, it's so easy when things are going good to forget the Lord. I'll give you a good practical experience dealing with myself. As you know, I still suffer with a lot of back problems in my leg and my neck, all these. Anyway, all I can say is oy vey. But when I was in bed for pretty much 3 months, parts of February, March, and April, and parts of May, boy, I was praying, and 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 I was praying. And I was in the scripture, and I was in the scriptures, and I was in the scriptures, and I was praying, and I was in the scripture all the time. And I was in tears and crying to the Lord. I'm a lot better now. I mean, I'm up here, I'm walking. You know, I'm doing better. I still have issues. But I'm not praying as much. You know, I'm not in the Word of God as much. Now I can say, well, now that I'm up and around and I'm not tied to a bed, you know, I'm doing other things. I don't have the time when you're laying in a bed. But I need to make sure that I'm praying. I need to make sure I'm in the Word of God. And I say that because all of us in here need to be spending a lot more time than we are praying, and a lot more time than we are in the Word of God. We don't need to be put on a bed of suffering in order to pray and be in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Where was I here? Okay. But a word of caution and danger needs to be spoken here. And going back to that verse I just read from Deuteronomy, to both the physical and the spiritual sons of Abraham, that's all of us here, our sin before the living and the enduring God can cause us to forfeit our entry into the fullness of the promise that God has for us. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about eternal life. But having an abundant and a blessed-filled walk with God. Now, who here wants an abundant and blessed-filled walk with God? And we can choose to continue in a faithless, mediocre, lukewarm walk with the Lord. That's our choice. Or we can enjoy a powerful, spirit-filled existence where we see the blessings of the Lord. That's totally our choice in the matter. You know, one of the saddest scriptures in all of God's words takes place in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34. Here Moses is allowed only to see a glimpse of glory. The Lord supernaturally shows Moses the whole promised land. Remember, Moses was not allowed to enter in the promised land. The Lord brought him up to Mount Nebo, and there was Moses, and God showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the promised land and all these things. But he could not enter it because he broke faith with God, and he did not uphold the holiness of God. And it's so crucial for you and I that we don't break faith with God and we continue to uphold his holiness. How horrible it is for us to be denied the fullness of all his blessings and promises and enter into his full good land. In other words, to just get a glimpse of glory or to see other people being blessed but not experiencing it ourselves. To be at the very threshold of seeing and entering into those blessings and prosperity, but to see only other people around us reaping it. How sad. So here we are, stuck at the door, locked out from blessing and satisfaction. God forbid. Rashul, the Apostle Paul, exhorts us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. So I say, live by the Ruach, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Ruach, the very Spirit and breath of God, and the Ruach, what is contrary to the sinful nature. You are in conflict, or they are in conflict with one another, so that you do not know what you want. But if you're led by the Ruach, you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. And he goes on to describe the acts of the sinful nature and warns us that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, going back to our analogy, he will not enter into the fullness of the promised land and the blessings of God. So what is our answer here? What is the answer here? Again, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, provides the solution. We are to live by the Ruach. We are to live by the Spirit of God, by His very breath, manifesting the fruit of the Ruach, the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit that we are to live by? We are to demonstrate and to live it, the love and the joy and the peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And it says against these things there is no law. This is how God wants us to operate, demonstrating, showing forth His fruit. That is nothing to prevent us from entering the totality of the fullness of blessing and promise. And he reminds us, Rav Shaul, that those who belong to the Messiah, Yeshua, have crucified that sinful nature with its passions and desires. Now, the key to our inheritance and blessings is summed up in our belonging and our abiding in the Messiah. As we abide in Him, all of God's blessings are available for us and will bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be Messiah's Talmudim, His disciples. Then the scripture will be true, which says, and whatever you ask in the Messiah's name will be given to you, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Isn't that nice? Whatever we ask. Now, I'm not one of the prosperity crazies. I believe in God wanting to prosper us, that He wants us to be blessed. I don't think He wants me to be blessed with a diamond ring on my every finger. But He wants me to be blessed with joy and happiness and satisfaction, health, a loving family, provision. Thank you, Lord. So as I said earlier, today concludes the book of Bamidbar Numbers. And as we conclude the book of Numbers, it's customary for the whole congregation to proclaim three words. All right, so I'm going to have you proclaim these words, and I'm going to tell you what they mean. It's Chazak. You got to clear your throat here. Ready? Chazak. Again, Chazak. Vanit. Chazak. So we're going to say that all together. Chazak, Chazak, Vanit, Chazak. And those words mean, and it's, you'll see them in the Tanakh and the scriptures right at the end of the book of Numbers. It means be strong, and may we be strengthened. And we're finishing the book of Numbers today. And the Lord tells us, Chazak, Chazak, Bani Chazak, be strong, and may we be strengthened. However, there's a deeper meaning to that. And our rabbis say that this phrase is based on Proverbs 3:18 in part. And what is Proverbs 3:18, by the way? Anybody have any idea what Proverbs 3:18 says? I'll tell you what it says. It is a tree of life. Etz Chaim. It is a tree of life to those who take hold of it, and those who support it are blessed. Now, where do you hear this scripture? Don't we recite this, Bob, during a certain part of the service? When? During the Torah service, we recite, it is a tree of life. We sing, Etz Chaim. It's a tree of life to those who take hold of it, and those who support it are blessed. But the rabbis also say, the reason we do Chazak, Chazak, Vini Chazak, because it's also based on Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, where we have the three repetitions. Here we said Chazak, Chazak three times, and in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, it says the following. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous, it says second time. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this Torah, this book of the law, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. Then you will be prosperous, and then you will be successful. Have I not commanded you? Here's the third time. Be strong and courageous. The three repetitions, the Chazak, Chazak. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If taking hold of the scriptures and supporting it are so great, why do we need the strength? Why do we? Why did Adonai say to Joshua three times in a row to be strong and courageous? Think about it. You know, to take up the Lord's way of living life is not easy. It's not easy taking up the way of the Lord's life for living. Living for the Lord is tough. It's tough. You're confronted with every sort of evil thought, inclination, people around you, every perverted thing of this world. It's not easy to live for the Lord. And he told Joshua three times to be strong and courageous. And he tells us, Chazak, Chazak, Venit, Chazak, three times to be strong, be strong, be strong. It's hard. It's full of blessing and great and wonderful things. However, on the other hand, it's hard. And it can be lonely and put us at odds with the world and all the people around us and our family. It makes a hard demand upon us. It's completely and totally opposite to the world around us. Everything around us is saying, go left. But the Torah is telling us to go right. Thank you, Lord. This shows the wisdom of Yeshua when he said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 25, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my Talmid, my disciple, my student, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever wants to lose their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their very self? Also, in Matthew 7, 12 through 14, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also for them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way that leads to destruction is wide, and those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. It's not an easy way to go. It's tough. That's why he says, Chazak, Chazak, Chazak. Why he says, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous. It's tough. In the writings of the rabbis, in the Talmud, it tells us that a life of obeying the Most High, obeying God, weakens the strength of a person because it's hard. It's hard. And it goes on to say, In following Yeshua, being his Talmudim, his disciples, and obeying his word, we need strength. We need to be strengthened. We need courage. We need support. We need to attach ourselves to his word. In another writing, Pirkei Avot, which is the ethics of the fathers, writings of the Jewish people, teaches that at the end of our lives, each of us will be required to give an accounting of our lives to Hashem, or to the Lord. And this reminds us of what Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Wow. I don't have enough room to hold all the empty words I've spoken. So let this be our prayer as we conclude today. And let us continue to take this to heart, that we spend the time in prayer and the time in His Word to get closer to Him and abide in Him. Let this be our prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, be glorified in our lives and help us to love and to serve you with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength, that we may enter into the promised land and reap all the goodness of God. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to stand up here and present your word. Lord, I just pray that your word will go out strong, that your word, Lord, would touch lives, that your word would continue to change us and transform us and make us into the image of the living God. Help us to get rid of all the leaven from our lives, that we would purge it, Lord, and be cleansed so that we might be a clean vessel before you. Lord, we desire blessings, Lord. Satisfaction and joy. Help us to abide in you, Lord, where we find these things. I just pray your blessing upon each life here, every soul here. Meet every need. Heal every sickness and disease and injury. Pour out your breath. Breathe upon us, O Lord.